Dave Hill's podcasting incident on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Dave Hill's podcasting incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. I actually just a few days ago got some free dipping sauces in Portland. It's weird. I hadn't ordered anything, which felt weird. Anyway, if you can hear some breathing that's not my own in the background, I'm sitting here. My sweet dog Lucy has her head in my sort of the crook of my arm, taking a nap. It's her birthday today, the day I'm recording this, which is Thursday, December 5th. She's 5 years old, doesn't look a day over, I don't know, three, who knows? It's hard to say, two. She's beautiful, we know this. Anyway, thank you for joining me once again for Dave Hill's podcasting incident. I've just returned from a magical week in Cleveland with a quick detour to lovely Portland. Why do I struggle? It's not a hard city to say. Portland, Oregon, or Oregon, tomato, tomato, where I was at the Ha Ha Harvest Comedy Festival. It was a super blast. My partner in crime, Chris Gersbeck, joined me. We did a live version of So You're Canadian, and a ton of people showed up, which was super cool. Even though I believe we scared away a 10-year-old and his father with our saucy talk. I apologize if you're listening. Was not intentional. Anyway, I'm back in NYC, cold, but my hair looks incredible. That's all that matters. What else can I tell you? Gosh, we have some people to thank on Patreon, and we will. Lucy just put her paw on the computer. She's really not really playing along here with this voiceover intro. But I'll take care of that. I'd have to wake her up to thank everyone. So I'll thank everyone next week. And we have some new gang member nicknames and all sorts of things coming down the pike. If you'd like to get in on the hot action, I don't know why I pronounced it action like I'm from the Midwest. I am from the Midwest, but I don't think I talk like that, do I? Anyway, go to patreon.com/Dave Hill. So many hot goodies waiting for you. Please support us if you can so we can keep this podcast and So You're Canadian and History Fluffer going. Actually, So You're Canadian is part of the Maximum Fun Network, so it's really just the other two. I'm sorry, I haven't had enough coffee today. I'm talking on my butt. Anyway, let's get into it. We have an incredible episode for you today. Our old friend Liam McEnany, Queens native, just like my partner in crime, Chris Gersbeck, only he moved to Los Angeles a few years ago, and now he's on cocaine. No, just kidding. That's not true at all. But it was great to see him. I hadn't seen him in a long time, and he came on over. Liam is host of a lovely podcast called Tell Your Friends, History's Greatest Podcast. The episodes are coming at you fast and hard. And, oh, look at me. I was classic episode on July 25th. Anyway, check him out there, and check him out wherever you can, because he's a hilarious guy and a fine young man, a handsome man, and I tried really hard to get into his head about what it's like living in Los Angeles, even though I guess I kind of know. I've never lived there, but I spent a lot of time there, and I have a lot of friends there, but I wanted to hear his experience, but we mostly talked about all sorts of depravity instead. So, all by way of saying, this is a red-hot episode, let me tell you. And let's get into it right now. Here now is my delightful conversation with comedian and Queens native Liam McEnany. And Chris Gersbeck is there for the action too, as is Lucy. And a little, here's a little bit of a fun fact. After the recording, we found out that Liam knows Lucy's sister Marley and didn't realize that Lucy was Marley's sister. Is this fun information? Maybe not. If you're not a dog owner or dog lover, probably not. But anyway, there you have it. Here now, let's get into it. Okay, enough. Here's Liam, me and Chris having at it. All right, let's start potting. We are in my apartment once again. It's cold outside, but I feel like it's a warm feeling in here.
Mm-hmm.
Despite me being a total fucking bitch before we hit record.
I think that makes two of us.
Three.
We were just being three. If we can, we can't include Lucy in that because she is being a sweet sweetie. But Chris, you and I just returned from Portland, mm-hmm. and you said just before we hit record that you had a horrible flight back.
Yeah.
Get into it.
I always think if I take a red eye flight, it'll save me time and energy because I'm like, why spend a whole day traveling when I can just sleep on a plane? And then I always forget that I just can't sleep on planes.
No.
So.
Unless you fly in like fancy.
Yeah.
Which let me be clear, I can count on maybe two hands the amount of times I've flown anything better than the worst, mm-hmm. next to the bathroom in coach. I prefer the middle seat next to the bathroom in coach.
Hi, my name's Liam McEnany. I'm jumping in. Last time I flew first class was on Delta. I had a connecting flight in Detroit, and the flight from New York to Detroit was late. So because I was in first class, they held the plane for me while I transferred on the light rail. Ooh. from one terminal to another.
That's luxury living.
I was like, oh, this is why rich people are always a little more relaxed when they fly.
Yeah, I'm not allowed. My credit card doesn't work anymore because I never paid the bill.
Well, that's no good.
It's a different thing. This was years ago, before I became America's sweetheart.
Did it fuck up your credit?
People think I'm crazy. Sure. But I truly I pay for everything. I do not use any credit. Pay when I buy something. I bought it. Mm-hmm. It's done.
You know, until a year and a half ago, I didn't have any credit cards. Because until about 2 years ago, I had a credit score of 2.
Literally 2?
Literally 2 out of, 900 or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't know it could go that low.
Well, guess what? I played Limbo. How low can you go?
I don't even want to know. I figure I'm going to find out at some point in time what my credit is. The thing is, I think I've actually been really responsible for the last 10, 12 years at least. But
I thought you were going to say days.
No, probably for the last, dozen years at least. But before that, I would literally, my first reaction to any bill would be to just throw it in the trash and wait and see how I felt the next time it came down the pike.
No, I mean, honestly, New York really facilitates that kind of living because you don't have to buy a house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't have to buy a car. I mean, you don't even really have to rent a car. So it's like the three things that you need credit scores and credit cards to do are kind of unnecessary to get by in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I live exactly the way you're describing. Everything cash or through my debit card. And I never spent more money than I had. But I needed a car in LA. I needed to be able to rent a car from time to time. It's just like there are a lot of things you need a credit score and a credit card for in the rest of the country.
Yeah. I never had a legal apartment until 6 years ago.
Really?
I was always living
like a sublease
in some sketchy arrangement.
Well, no, Dave used to live in a shack in Montana.
Yeah.
He collected his own rainwater and had solar power, so he was off the grid.
Well, I had an illegal sublet for a very long time. And before that, I had roommates, and they had their name on the lease.
Yeah.
So I've only gone legit. But there was the rainwater period. And I will drink anyone's urine, just out of habit.
Well, I also lived in a two-bedroom apartment that I grew up in. So it was like, you know, I was just grandfathered into the lease. So I never had to look for an apartment in New York City. Like, that's I never amazing. Moved until I moved to L.A.
Because that's, like, the worst experience.
Yeah.
I just to so the listener is not driven crazy, and I want to go fully.
Oh, right, we haven't finished your story.
What happened with your flight?
Oh, it was more just I took a sleeping pill.
Okay.
Got on the flight.
But it turned out to be a laxative?
No.
If you take a sleeping pill and the laxative, then you're that's the oldest trick in the book.
Then you're a JetBlue legend.
No, I couldn't sleep, and I started getting all antsy, and also the airline put me in a middle seat without warning. Like, I would not have booked that flight if there was only middle seats available. Like, I picked a window seat, and then I go to check in, and suddenly I'm in a middle seat.
They can't do that.
They would not let me change it.
It's actually part of your terms of service when you book online.
That you're screwed.
Yeah, they can change your seat if they change the size of the aircraft.
Oh.
Then there's suddenly like more or less seats than they originally planned on. They can just move people around.
You know what happened to me? I can't remember. Was it on the way, one of the directions? I think it was flying back. Mm-hmm. I got on the plane because we were just at the Ha Ha Harvest Comedy Festival in Portland.
Did you get recognized on the plane?
That's not what I was going to say, but yes, I did. I did get recognized. Why, did I tell you that?
No.
I did get recognized on the plane.
No, I know. I was legit asking you.
You know.
Sorry. Wow.
That do not fly list is really...
You were walking around Portland, people were screaming stuff at you from cars.
Is that true? That's awesome.
People just lose their minds. But what happened was I got on the plane because I know the festival, they booked my flight, right? Mm-hmm. And I on United, you have to pay extra to reserve a seat, right? If you're flying in coach, which is my preference, which I always do because I like coach.
Really?
That's not true, but the part about
you always do it.
The part about how I do it is pretty true.
Right.
And then the only time I haven't flown in coach is when it was out of my hands. Like when there used to be rules that they had to upgrade you for a shoot or whatever, but now that does not exist. And other situations were never on my own volition have I done anything other than coach, because I'm still that kid from Cleveland.
Right.
And but so the festival, though, they paid to reserve the seat because I was in 29D for four flights, layover in Chicago, flying back to Cleveland. No direct flights from Cleveland to Portland. And I got to my seat, and there was a woman sitting there, and she said, "Oh, is this your seat?" And I said, "Oh, yeah," just like that. And, like, I wasn't going to fight her about it. And right. She's like, "Oh, well, my kid is..." She points to this toddler in the window seat.
Ugh.
So, and they didn't have us together, like... And then there was a woman in the middle, and I was, like, assumed that was part of their group. But then I later sort of looked over. I don't think it was. She was. And then she's like, "Would you mind taking my seat?" And it was a middle seat across the aisle. And I said, "A middle seat, really?" And just because I didn't have time to not to think that
I would never just take the middle seat.
Yeah, I would allow the flight attendants to figure this one out.
Yeah, I should have, but I was like, "Hey, just go with it," because I think every seat in coach is horrible anyway, if the whole plane's full.
Right.
So I was like, whatever. So I sat down, and it was very unpleasant.
So wait, you sat in the middle seat with the kid to the
right? No, I sat in the middle seat. This woman had a seat across the aisle.
Okay.
And I sat in that seat, and then... I was sitting there, because I don't really believe in karma or anything, because I was like, this isn't going to come back to me in any positive way. Mm-hmm. Whatever. But then when we get off the plane, and Chris, you can, this is, I hope to tell this story on The Moth. Let me be clear. You can edit this out, this whole story, because I realize I'm taking forever. But,
No, this is what people...
It's riveting.
This is what, you know, they say the flavor's in the fat.
Yeah, there's a lot. I'm giving real time. The pauses maybe people could do without, because they're like, I think my iPod player stopped or whatever.
They like the pauses.
People love a dramatic pause. Anyway.
This is very much like a Prairie Home Companion, so don't worry about it.
I'm going to have a fiddle playing music in the background. So,
if Garrison Keillor had used the C word once in a while, it would be just like...
I was just talking about this earlier. The thing that drives me crazy on planes is when people get up and try to get off ahead of the rows ahead of them.
It's infuriating.
It's just basic, like, let's just wait for the people ahead of you.
Right.
And just because the person's sitting and you manage to run up the row doesn't mean they're not ready. They're just not an idiot like you, and they're just standing waiting their turn. So the woman who is a row or two behind me that I switched seats with, I was trying to get up, and she just blew right by me and didn't say, like, oh, my gosh, thank you.
Right.
And didn't. And I was just like, motherfucker, burns me twice.
And she wasn't with the kid.
The kid died on the plane. Okay. That's how I'm going to get it on the mouth. Anyway, it's not the greatest story, but I'm just saying my life's really hard. Let's get into it, though. You now live in Los Angeles, as hinted at a couple times.
Yes.
You now live in Los Angeles.
I now live in Los Angeles. I got to say, I'm never jealous of my friend's success. But the one time I got angry at a friend's success, and it's not your fault, is when I was watching Game of Thrones and I saw your name listed as a fucking writer or producer or whatever.
And you were like, that motherfucker.
I really was. I was like, oh my God, Dave got the dream job, that son of a bitch.
Well.
I had to calm myself down. And then I Googled it and it turned out it was a different Dave Hill.
Yeah. I have fielded many.
And it's the only time I've ever been furious at a friend for doing well.
Well, that's, that would be a lot. Yeah, that would probably upset me. I mean, it did upset. I've gotten emails about doing interviews about the show.
Mm-hmm. You should do them.
You really should.
Brian Regan does that. There's some screenwriter who has the same name.
I'll write back and be, you know, people will write on social media asking me. They used to, like, ask me questions, like, my dream is to be a writer for television, like, and I'm always like, come on by the set. It's not a problem. Just say I sent you. And then they're like, what's it like? And I'm always just like, you know, it's a job like any other. Like, it's kind of, I'm like, to be honest, I can't wait for it to be over. Like, the snacks here are really lame. You would think that we would have, like, decent snacks, but we don't.
You know what's funny is that Dave Hill gets a lot of hate because of how the final season went down.
Right.
Like, people blame that Dave Hill all the time.
Yeah. Do they really?
Yeah.
It's not his fault.
I think
it is. He was on it for the really good seasons.
Yeah, I think they credit him for coming up with... I didn't watch the show, so I don't know.
Okay.
But apparently the last season was not very well.
Now, is it because you're too cool, or is it because you can't afford HBO?
No, I can't afford HBO, but I do have my parents' password. But, no, I just... I don't know. I never got into it. I should watch it.
But also, you don't get credit. If something starts to suck, you don't get credit for it having been good.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like Dylan, if he puts out, and I'm guessing he did by Dylan fan standards, some shitty records, he doesn't get to go like, well, Blonde on Blonde. Yeah. Hey.
That is true. I mean, like, when he put out a fucking Shot of Love, nobody was like, ah, but Mr. Tambourine Man.
Yeah. Not in America, anyway.
No, except for the critics at Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
Which will suck his dick, no matter...
I mean, Scorsese's getting shit for The Irishman. which I don't understand.
As well he should.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't.
I watched it.
I'm the only thing I'm not excited about this CGI I've been hearing about. I'm so against CGI.
It's not that noticeable.
It's not that bad. The thing is, they still have posture and walk like old men.
Yeah.
So it's this really crazy thing where it's like Robert De Niro
with
like...
And they didn't reduce his weight that much either.
No. So he's got like a middle-aged face, but then he's like kind of hunt... And they actually hired a posture expert to fix this.
To tell him how to walk like a younger guy?
So some scenes he looks okay, and then especially long shots, he's just kind of hunched over and like picking his way down the street. And you're like, oh, that's an old man.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, not to name drop, but... I've met Robert De Niro.
Oh, Bob?
Bob, as I... Okay. or Mr. De Niro, as I call him. And his vibe is much younger than a lot of the characters that he plays. Mm-hmm. I was surprised by that. Like, I was like, oh, he seems like just like a young dude.
Well, he was in Dirty Grandpa, so maybe that's where you get
Dirty Grandpa, I missed that one.
It's a terrible comedy he was in a few years ago.
Is it better than The Intern?
I never saw The Intern, but
you
probably.
See The Intern.
Is it better than Jack and Jill?
Oh, the
that's Pacino.
Adam Sandler
vehicle? I'm just saying.
I never saw that. I keep hearing Pacino's performances that is like the best part of the movie.
I gotta say, I've watched Jack and Jill both in pieces in hotels across America, and also once all the way through. It's not that bad.
No.
Like, it's like surprisingly better than you would think, but not good. It's the only way to describe it.
The weird thing is, like, Adam Sandler, like, obviously he's done some really good things, but then he'll just jump into a pile of shit faster than anybody.
But those piles of shit make a shit ton of money.
I guess that's what he's... Yeah. I see... That's probably what he's thinking.
Yeah. It's like someone that once asked Norman Greenbaum what it was like to be a one-hit wonder. And he's like, that one hit bought me a car and a boat.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Spirit in the Sky,
We're talking about... If you don't put down your Google...
Mental Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. Mental Googling. Yeah. You get one Spirit in the Sky...
Yeah.
Boom.
Someone's telling me Spanglish is a really good movie, but that's also a James Brooks movie, so...
Spanglish? Yeah. Who else is in that?
It's like an ensemble cast.
I was going to say J-Lo, but that's me being racist.
I feel like Jane...
I honestly thought she had to be in it, because if not J-Lo, who? Because that's... If you didn't... You know that she must... They must have approached J-Lo about being in Spanglish.
Did you see Hustlers?
No.
I saw it. She's really good in that movie, and her body is amazing. And I'm not saying that in a creepy way. I'm saying that in the way of, like, a guy who wants to do whatever she did to get into the shape she was in for that movie.
I thought you were going to say he wants to do sex with her.
I feel like she would yell at me a lot if we had sex. I don't think I would be able to satisfy her in the way she needs to be satisfied. Mm-hmm.
We can't know that.
She's in incredibly good shape, and I'm not.
It's all relative.
I'm just saying... I'm not saying I'm bad at the sex, because I am very good at the sex.
Oh, and believe me, I've heard.
You have a reputation.
Chris and I were just talking about that.
Yeah, that's those, I'm sure...
When he said that you were available to do the show today, the first thing I said is, he's not going to try to fuck us, is he? Because
this could be a 3-hour podcast.
Yeah.
What did you find out who's also in Spanglish?
Tia Leone.
Tia Leone, then.
Didn't see that coming. Wasn't she married to David Duchovny?
She was.
But
apparently he was like a porn addict or something.
He's a sex addict.
He was a sex addict. But then I bet sex addicts love porn. Why is no one... I know someone probably has made a great set out of this, but why is no one is ever addicted to sex with their partner? Isn't it a cop-out?
I feel like people like that who are sex addicts who try to be faithful usually have open relationships and multiple sex partners.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's all above board and...
Oh, so you would, yeah, you would probably never hear about it if someone were like, oh, my husband can't stop fucking me.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be public information. It's when they, you know.
I mean, I feel like the first 3 months of any relationship is pretty much that.
What? Sexual? First 3 months?
Yeah.
Well, now we're learning a bit about Chris, aren't we?
How long have you been with Jenna?
Almost 15 years.
And how's the sex life?
It's fantastic.
Really? She runs an erotic open mic, so I feel like that could go either way.
No, I mean, it's, you know, been married a few years. It's still good, but it's not. Any relationship's the same as.
How often do you guys have sex?
Once a week.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That seems pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, for a 15 year. You've been married 15 years?
No. Been together 15 years.
Once a week. This is really, I feel like, the most. I take it back. I was going to say it's the most personal, like, most intimate information we've gotten out of someone on this podcast. But then I remembered a little episode we did with Andrea Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, Andrea's good at that.
She does not hold back.
She's like a Howard Stern. But, Chris, how many partners had you been with before Jen?
Like two.
Oh, so.
And I've been with her since I was 22.
You ever cheat on her?
No.
Really? Wow. Come on. Better man than I am.
15 years. Pause and answer the question.
Yeah.
No. Just kidding. Why would you ask such a question?
You've only ever had three sex partners in your life.
No, I've had more sex partners.
Oh,
before.
Or relationships.
Relationships, yeah. I've only had two other girlfriends before.
So you've done a lot of. Just random.
A lot of
just
sucking and fucking. No.
What does this show turn into?
Well, I've got that Joe Sixpack, blue collar, Johnny Lunch Pill kind of workaday vibe, so.
Yeah, so people are like, let's talk about fucking and sucking.
Fucking and sucking, bro. I'm getting paid for getting laid.
Which leads me to my next question, Chris. Have you ever gone gay for pay?
No.
Okay. Let's bring it back to you, Liam. Not the same question. What's it like living in Los Angeles?
Speaking of gay for pay.
You live in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I love living in L.A. Don't
you do.
Move there. I love living there. Don't move there.
You're saying,
the greatest experience.
Why shouldn't I move there? I mean, I'm not planning on it, but why shouldn't I?
I'm more talking to your listeners.
Oh, okay.
Because they're driving the rents up. Like, a lot of people are moving to L.A. now.
Oh,
and I
really?
Kind of have that mentality of, like, last one in the gate, shut the door behind me.
Yeah. Like, is it cheaper to, like, live there versus New York, though?
It is cheaper, but it's also getting more expensive. Like, an apartment in my neighborhood, like, you should be able to get a one-bedroom for under $1,000 a month, and now you got to go look for under $2,000. It's because a ton of people are moving to Hollywood, you know?
To become stars.
Or at least to achieve a middle-class lifestyle, which is very sad when that's why people are entering show business.
Yeah, but isn't I mean, there's all, you know, that's true. You might as well just try to become a multi-mega-bazillionaire.
It's
in
true.
Show business.
But it's also like there's still good union jobs, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and you can still make six figures and buy a house and a car or two cars. Like, you can live the American dream if you are successful in show business in a way that a lot of American industries are failing now.
Yeah. That's why I'm sticking with it.
Me too, man.
This industry of show. What are you doing? What was that noise?
That was your the air conditioner for your. I mean, your the remote
the
for your air conditioner.
Well, don't lose it. If someone steps on it, then we'll never be able to turn the fan on again.
Oh God! It's
not okay.
A fan.
We can get it later.
It's a portable air conditioner.
No, it's a fan.
Or
is that what you call them in L.A.?
It's
a fan.
Things that blow air and make
it
cooler.
No, it's oddly shaped.
But the thing about L.A. is like, it's nice. The weather's sunny a lot. It was 70 degrees and sunny the day I flew out here.
What's it like, 37 today?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you're from Queens.
I'm from Queens.
You're like a New Yorker.
I'm a native New Yorker, born
like
and raised.
Like Chris here.
Yeah.
You're one of the only native Queens people that I actually know.
Yeah. Chris actually lives in my old neighborhood now. My old stomping grounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like young people like him that had kind of ruined it. But
yeah, it's that good why he had to leave.
It's like, you know, why like regular working folk can't afford to live there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Raise a family in Forest Hills.
Because of me.
Because of people like
sucking
you.
And fucking Chris Gerstek rolls into town and starts fucking everybody.
Chris, you ever have a threesome?
No.
Wow, I can't believe that.
No. That's on my bucket list, though.
You've got a hair?
Really?
Really?
No.
Oh. You've got, like, the
you know
hair
how
and
awkward
beard of a guy
I would be
who's tried.
In a threesome. Not to mention that anyone who's ever tried being in a threesome has told me that there's always just one person just, like, masturbating in a corner because there's not enough
tongues and hands and holes and dicks to go around. I would assume.
I wouldn't know because I live in the light of Christ, but I can tell you that's not strictly necessarily true, but...
Oh.
I've never been involved in a threesome. I've made out with two girls at once. Does that count?
I think so.
All right. Now we're back. I was in college, and we did it as a joke, as a humorous joke.
As a hilarious 45-minute prank.
As a hilarious prank that was remains the proudest moment in my life.
I did notice it was in your special skills on your resume.
Can make out with two chicks.
Yeah.
Who are totally cool with it.
No, but I don't think I could ever be involved with another fellow. Just because I just know that we would be comparing ourselves to each other at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want that kind of pressure.
Don't you think, though, that when there's two dudes and a girl in a threesome, hypothetically, that it's really... The girl is there just as sort of training wheels for their homosexual experience that they're really after? Or is that small-minded of me? It's either rape fantasy or they want to have sex with each other. I don't think that there exists a scenario.
I feel like there's absolutely a bisexual component, even if they only high-five.
Well, is there anything more bisexual than high-fiving?
No,
I say this as someone who high fives regularly.
I love to high five.
I love a nice high five.
During sex? Or just in general?
You know what, man? If I was with a woman and she fucking at one point just looked at me and went for a high five, I would be so stoked because I knew I was doing something right.
Well, no one ever tries to high five you. I feel like I don't ever get offered ironic high fives. Usually, it's from children.
Right.
And there's not a sexual component. Anyone over the age of 18 that I've ever high-fived with, it's definitely sexual. No, I'm kidding.
I was...
podcast.
I was waiting for... I was going to a friend's birthday dinner. Turned out I was outside the wrong Mexican restaurant in Bushwick.
Oh.
Because there's Taqueria El Fagón, which is where I was waiting.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also Taqueria El Fagón number 2 off of Bogart. Around
this,
the corner.
This is an understandable mistake.
Oh, it's totally understandable. And eventually it all got sorted out. But there was a little kid nearby who was just kind of bored waiting for his dad to finish fucking scraping the sidewalk.
Sure.
First he came up and offered me a piece of ice. And he was like talking to me. And I was like, oh, I've made a friend.
A piece of ice? Just like regular ice?
Just like a chunk of ice he'd found. And he just like offered it to me.
Where did he get it?
Off the ground.
Oh, it was cold weather.
Yeah, it was cold weather. It was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
It's cold here in New York City. Lucy, it's all right. He just didn't understand.
Thank you, Lucy. It's okay. I didn't understand. Thank you, sweet baby girl.
I wasn't condescending to him. I was just explaining.
Hey, Lucy, let him... Come on.
Okay, so... This is eerie. Are we about to get murdered?
Thank you, Lucy.
Not by the dog, but someone outside the door.
That's not a dog.
Probably okay. I say probably.
But anyway, so then as I walked away, I had to walk past the kid, and I was like, hey, have a great night, little man. And then he was like, bye-bye, and then he fucking threw a chunk of ice at my head. I was like, I'm in New York City, I forgot.
That's amazing. That's kind of awesome that he just turned on you like that.
Like on a dime. but anyway, so L.A. is great. I own a car
getting
now.
Getting back to L.A. What kind of car do you have? This is not a judgment.
I have a 2012 silver Toyota Camry.
That's a great car.
I bought it through CarMax. I got everything I wanted. It must have been owned by an old lady mm-hmm. from Las Vegas, which is where my car came from.
Okay. Why? It had that old lady smell.
No, because it had blinds. It has blind spot sensors. It has a compass in the rearview mirror. It has like a rearview camera. It's got everything an older person needs when they're driving to and from the casino every day.
That's pretty cool.
All the satellite radio presets were set to old people music.
It sounds like a sweet ride. What color is it?
Silver.
That's a good color. So, if I may.
Yes.
You don't have to say, but can you tell us where you... Someone might show up to murder you is the reason you might not want to say. But where do you live in L.A.?
Well, just to give you a general, not to get specific, I'm at 5533 Hollywood Boulevard.
Okay. That's right in the heart of it.
Yeah, it's like on the corner of Garfield.
Do you want me to censor that?
No, no. The entrance is around the corner on Garfield. It's not on Hollywood Boulevard.
Well, you can kind of, depending on how many units are in your building, it's not dangerous.
Well, there's over 100 units in my building. Good luck.
Someone could still kill you, though.
Is your name on the mailbox?
There is no mailbox. Yeah. We have a doorman, so it's...
you're safe. No one's going to kill you. I mean, someone might kill you.
One of my neighbors might kill me, but nobody from the outside is going to kill me. You should be more worried that an insane person's going to come and try to suck your dick and then keep coming when you say no.
Wait, they keep coming? Oh, coming at me. Yeah. Or they're already coming as they're... This is horrible. What has happened?
I don't know. Chris started talking about threesomes and then just kind of devolved from there.
I apologize.
I'm trying to think of the last time I was ever in a situation where someone wanted to perform fellatio on me. And I had to be like, stop it! Stop it! I'm going to go back to college on this one again. When everything was perfect.
I'm going to say I never really mounted a defense against. There's never been like a... There's never been a situation where someone's tried to blow me where I've been upset about it. I'll say that.
What if there's been other people in the room?
That never happened to me. I mean, well... But but it's never been a situation where...
I'm just letting a pause.
Where I've had an audience, I'll say that.
No, I'm against audiences for my shows, clearly.
Again, I don't want, like, dudes sitting there comparing themselves to me or comparing me to them. I don't like the judgment.
That's the thing, like, I don't understand when people talk about... being involved. Like, I know a guy who was, I think, orgies also.
Yeah, I could never do it. Like, I have a friend named Porno Jim.
I'm listening.
He's a porno fan, and he made a movie. Porno movie, but he also did a one-man show about his love of porn, which he put on in the bar of a sex club. So my girlfriend and I went to watch his show.
In New York or L.A.?
In New York.
Okay.
This was like 4, 5, 6 years ago.
There was a sex club in New York 5 or 6 years ago?
Hell yeah. It's still there. It's like a well-known
What's
one.
It called?
I forget, but it's like the front is an electric lighting store on maybe Allen Street.
Oh my gosh.
And you just go to watch people.
No. I mean, you go to have sex with strangers. I mean, it's a sex club.
It's like a swingers club.
It's a swingers club, right? So like... After the show, they were telling us, like, yeah, if you guys want to come in to the sex club, it's only $10 cover each.
I want to pay more for a sex club.
Oh, you got it. Well, the thing was, we had been comped for the show, but theoretically, people had paid $20 each to watch this show.
So $30 total. Yeah. If you enjoyed the show, you might enjoy fucking for $10 more.
But there were just a bunch of dudes hanging out at the foot of the stairs of the sex club. Just kind of waiting for the night to start.
Like looking at their phones?
Well, looking at my girlfriend. And I was just like, I wouldn't share a sandwich with these guys, let alone my girlfriend. You know? Like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying, Chris?
Yeah. I just feel like...
I mean, you must have had swingers propose you and Jen at some point in your 15 years in New York City.
Yeah, actually.
Really?
Because Jen hosts an erotica open mic show.
So people assume that she's down for weird stuff.
A couple times, couples have shown up not knowing, like, the exact format of the show, or just reading, oh, it's an erotica show, and thinking it's, like,
Maybe we could fuck the host.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, seriously, that people are that way.
One time someone went up and literally propositioned us from the stage.
What?
She was like, I don't know what this was. It was super fun, but I thought maybe it was like a swingers thing because my boyfriend and I are swingers and we thought you guys were cute. And it was super awkward because we were both just sitting in the front like, ooh.
So, in the way they got on stage to say this?
The girl did.
Was she cute?
She's all right.
Oh. Couldn't she get, like, oh.
That's a very nice way of saying no.
No, she was, you know, she's fine.
Was she portly? Interesting.
Was she port? No, no.
No, she wasn't. Okay. So she was in good shape.
No.
Did she have a bad face?
I don't mean, this is like 2 years ago, I don't know.
Oh, that's a yes. She had a bad
But
face.
I would... It sounds to me like, based on everything I've heard in the last hour or what, however long, that her appearance had nothing to do with your decision
not
to have...
No, yeah, no. Chris is just kind of lame.
Well, the guy... Yeah. I don't know why... I mean, at least get a hand job.
Seriously.
I mean, the guy, her boyfriend was a burly man.
Sure. They always are.
And... Not that we even, like, considered it. It was very awkward to be asked that from the stage. Like, because then we had to react in some way. We couldn't just, like,
you guys were like, maybe if it was just you.
Yeah.
But it's you and him, and that's...
So flattered.
Yeah.
I was in this band, though I guess anyone could figure this out, because I've only been in so many bands. But I was in a band at one point in my life where one of the guys in the band was into like swinging and stuff, and we would be on tour, and he would, like, there would be some random couple just showing up and kind of like in the dressing room, and I'd be like, "What? Oh, who are these people?" And then he'd be like, "Guys, I'm not going back to the hotel tomorrow. I'll give you guys a call tomorrow." And then the next day, we would hear like some horrifying tale of what happened, whether we wanted to hear it or not.
I always love those stories.
Oh.
The thing about my friends who have those kind of relationships is the relationships last about 2 years.
Oh, yeah. They never... No. Anyone who's ever like, oh, I'm in an open relationship, it's like you're in a soon-to-end relationship.
You're either on the way in or the way out.
Yeah. It does not... Or, like, what happened to... It's like, oh, me and my wife split up. And what happened? Like, oh, she now lives with this woman that came over a few times.
Well, yeah, they met in a threesome, and then suddenly I was out.
That happens all the time.
It happens quite a bit.
Yeah.
Anyway. Boy, if you're listening to this, you just missed some genuinely juicy gossip. I hope to God you don't forget to cut that out, dude.
I hope you just made it.
I noticed you didn't make a note of what time that happened.
I didn't make a note, but I always go through the entire podcast while I'm
doing this. Well, don't get lazy this podcast, because that could get me into serious personal trouble.
Same.
All you said, basically. No.
Dave, could you just recap with names?
All you said was... it doesn't... I don't know. I think people always try to, like, figure out some dream scenario where they can just have everything. And I think it's the opposite. Like, choose your manner of defeat. I think, like, you can be in a monogamous relationship and be like, oh, no, I can't go fuck everybody.
Right.
Oh, poor me. Or you can not be in a relationship and you go fuck everyone. And you go, like, oh, I wish I had a relationship.
Yeah.
Or you can... be in an open relationship and ultimately end up with nothing. So you lose no matter what. The relationship where you think you have everything, you end up with nothing in the end. Everything we're talking about, I'm all for dudes, man on man love for anyone who's interested in it, but don't do these other things that are clearly just diversions for what you really want. Like
the weird courting rituals.
Yeah. Let's go to an MMA match. Those are two dudes wanting to make out.
Yeah.
If you're in MMA, anyone who's listening, if you like MMA, find a boyfriend.
I've watched UFC, and as far as I can tell, it's just dudes hugging on the ground for like 10 seconds.
That's totally it's over. You can't tell me
Yeah, it's all just hugging, which
is remember, I verified this with some gay friends, and they're like, oh yeah, super gay. So, yeah. You know, I checked it out before I just go saying this stuff all willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly, by the way, is a strip club that used to be on Christopher Street.
Are you serious?
No.
Get my, I'm like running for my
coat. I think the three of us should open up a strip club.
Willy-nilly. Willy-nilly. That sounds like the saddest strip club ever.
Saddest all-males review. Oh, but so when I was 14 years old, my friend Evan was in a band in high school, like a shitty high school band. Mm-hmm. I went to see them play in College Point, Queens. Mm. And his bass teacher was giving us both a ride home because, like, College Point is, you know, fucking, like, you know, a three-hour ride on the bus from my where I lived in Rego Park. My friend Evan is like, I love my friend Evan, but we kind of enable each other's dirtbag tendencies a little bit when we hang out. Mm-hmm. And so Evan was like, hey, man, before we go home, let's go to a strip club. I was like, sure, let's go to a strip club. I've never been to a strip club. And then his bass teacher was like, all right, let's go. Oh. And so we were in a van, and he drove this van to Sunnyside, Queens, to a... Now it's Parrot Coffee on Queens Boulevard. But at the time, it was like this shitty, like what they call a titty bar.
Sure.
And it was clearly an off night. They let us hang out there, even though Evan and I were very clearly not old enough to drink.
What, may I ask, how old were you guys and how old was the creepy bass teacher, who I feel safe calling creepy at this point?
We were both 14, and I would say he was he was very awesome.
Like, how did you get in?
A very cool adult. It was a time in New York City before Giuliani when if you were old enough to see the bar, you were old enough to order from it. So I drank at a lot of places in Queens at that time. And if you couldn't get into a bar, you could always go to like a liquor store or a bodega and get beer or alcohol.
I concur. Like, when I came here to go to college, I guess that's not college, is different. But, I mean, I used to just walk around New York just drinking. Yeah.
The only place you couldn't order without an ID was like Bleecker Street. And that was because the cops were always busting bars for underage drinking there. But it wasn't, like back then, you would just have to pay a cop, like basically pay a cop a grand and it would go away. Like now...
You were walking around with a grand?
No, the bar owners.
It's like...
No, I wouldn't, I couldn't get in.
Fancy lad.
I couldn't get in.
So, wait, how old is the bass teacher?
His 40s.
Oh, this is...
That's really creepy.
That's horrifying.
That's not creepy. It was awesome. How dare you?
For you? But in retrospect, don't you realize how disturbing that is?
No, I mean, I don't...
You're not like, hey, Mr. Whatever was really fucking creepy.
No, so he wasn't trying to put the moves on us.
No, but I'm saying, like
a girl.
If you had a 14-year-old son and you found out that a 40-year-old man...
Oh, I would murder him, but that's a different story.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, that is not responsible.
So we hung out there till closing. I immediately understood that these women hated us and, like, fucking thought we were ridiculous and gross. So therefore, I started making friends with them because I was just like, all right, well then, because the fantasy at a strip club is these women are into you.
Yes.
And that's how they make their money, is like, you have, like, the male brain is like, oh, these women, if only they weren't working right now, they would totally be fucking me. Like, it's the only thing that's separating me from fucking these women is that bouncer at the end of the bar.
Yep.
But I immediately understood, like, no, these women fucking just want to make money. And I was like, okay, that's cool, because I just want to look at tits. Mm-hmm. So we made friends with this woman who gave us her name, and her name was Jade.
Was it?
I doubt it. but check it out. So like, she was like, yeah, you know, I'm also DJ at Club USA, so if you ever guys want to go to Club USA.
In Times Square?
Times Square, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and she was like, stripping was my sideline. Anyway, so we had breakfast with her.
As you do.
Did you
As
stay you out do. That late that you had
to We stayed out that late that we had breakfast with the stripper. So then, of course, my friend Evan was in head over heels in love with this.
Is this the same night with the bass teacher?
Yeah.
This is incredible.
It was amazing. It was the best. This is why I'm saying...
So on the right, you just never came home.
I got home at like 6 in the morning before my parents woke up. Like right before they woke up.
This is a weekend?
Weeknight. So...
Oh my gosh, you're from the mean streets.
So then Evan would call the payphone at the strip club every week and be like, is Jade dancing? And of course they'd be like, yeah, we have a million fucking Jades. Like, yeah, of course Jade's dancing.
They're all dancing.
So he would call me and I would be like, yeah, I can't. I'm broke, whatever. I don't have the money. So then one day he was like, come on, man. Jade's dancing at the club. Let's go. And we went. It gets really gross now. So we went. It was all like Russian strippers off the, like, fucking mm-hmm. clearly loaded in from a cargo vessel. You know, like in The Wire. Mm-hmm. So we were like, okay, Jade's not here. Let's go to another strip club. We tried Honey's on Queens Boulevard, but they actually carded us. And then God bless Evan. I don't know how he knew where this place was. He's like, don't worry. I know a strip club in Ozone Park. I was like, all right. Because he had a car. So I was like, sure. Don't ask me why Evan was allowed to drive. I just realized he probably shouldn't have been driving.
Yeah.
Because he was no older than 15 at the time.
Learner's permit.
Oh my God, but he shouldn't have been, like, with a learner's permit, you're not allowed to drive alone.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me his parents would just let him drive their car.
They were just thinking, you got this.
Fucking hilarious. Okay, so that never even occurred to me until I said this out loud. So we went to the strip club in Ozone Park. Really dingy, shitty strip club.
Wasn't that where John Gotti was from?
Yes. Dude, Gotti territory. You could, like, anything kind of went in Ozone Park at that time. I had friends that lived out there, and we would just get really hammered and fucking on the streets. We would go to pool hall and order beers there. It was pretty nuts, the kind of life I led. But we found this really shitty, dingy strip club. It was the last night the strip club was open. So the only people... The only people was the owner.
Like, they were about to close?
That was their last night. They told us when we walked in. We were like, why is it empty? And they were like, oh, yeah, we're closing tomorrow. Forever. So it was the owner, his wife, who was in her 40s and was about 5 feet tall and maybe 250 pounds. Mm-hmm. She was topless. Sure. And then a young woman who was zonked out on drugs. And it was like, the setup was, there was a bar, like a square... The bar was a square, and the floor was in the middle of that square, but lower. So it was like kind of like a pit. Anyway, this young woman was zonked out on drugs, and she just kind of lay in the floor and fingered herself.
And that was
on her back.
That was the performance.
I think that was just what was happening.
Oh,
we were, Evan and I were literally the only of the customers in the bar.
And you're 14.
Yeah. And we're just watching this woman finger herself for about 20 minutes. And then we're like, okay, we should probably get out of here. This is...
You ever been to the Pussycat Lounge?
Yeah.
We can't move on to another place. we're not going down the line now. And being like, what do you think of... No. I'm going to...
Maybe we
need to put a cap on this.
Maybe when we went to this other strip club, we were 15, but no older than 15 at that point.
Yeah, you moved on. Unlike Chris, clearly. Well, next time, when you come back, we'll ask you full only LA questions.
Sure. No, honestly, I love LA, and we'll talk about it next time.
Do you think you'll stay there forever and ever?
I would. If I got a good job here, I would come back in a heartbeat because all my friends are still here. Like, mm-hmm. I have a million friends that live in New York, and that's, you know, it's the only thing I miss about city living, to be very honest, is just my friends. There are, like, great shows here. Mm-hmm. There's great, like, comedy here. And I miss that. But everything else, life is so much better for me in L.A. It's ridiculous.
I think you're lying.
No, I'm not.
I'm just kidding.
You're right. I have no friends.
I think you're lying.
I sit in my parents' basement all day.
Your parents moved to L.A. too?
No, I'm saying when I visit New York.
Oh. No, I'm saying that you're lying about L.A.
Oh, no, I love L.A. I just need a bigger apartment. So anyway, if all you're right. listening
okay.
and you have the line on a one-bedroom apartment in a nice neighborhood with a parking garage attached and no more than $1,700 a month, I'm at liam@heyitsliam.com.
Got it.
And there you have it, my delightful conversation with Liam McEnany. Go see him, go listen to his podcast called Tell Your Friends, and buy his albums. He's got albums that are hilarious, And if you see him on the street, wrap him in your loving arms. How's that? Support us on Patreon. Did I already say that? Of course I did. Patreon.com/Dave Hill. So we can keep these podcasts coming down the pike with great regularity, like someone who eats a high fiber. That's gross. I'm going to go there, as they say. Sorry for saying go there. Try not to use that phrase either. What is this, the 90s? Alright, oh, the cops are coming. They're like, Dave, this is the worst voiceover ever. We're putting you under arrest. Alright, I leave you today. Our dear friend JC Cassis has a new song, and yes, music video, called Christmas is Bullshit. We're just going to play the song because this is a podcast, and you know, that's all the technology we have. But go on YouTube, and see the video. It's hilarious. The song is hilarious and great. JC is, of course, from the legendary and wildly popular Risk podcast, which I've been on. Yes, I'm sure you're wondering. And she's also one half of the pop duo XL. Here's JC Cassis. Christmas is bullshit. I can't say it enough. I kind of like Christmas. But I do like this song too.
Christmas is here, it sends shivers up my spine, 'cause this part of the year is my least favorite time. I don't stuff stockings, I don't buy dead trees, I only like shopping if the shopping is for me. The food makes me fatter, Christmas cookies taste like wood, ugly sweaters don't flatter, and I prefer to look good. The weather is nasty, the crowds are insane. Don't be mad at me, but I just gotta say, Christmas is bullshit. I hate the music, and pretending winter is fun. It's the worst season, everybody knows it. So I can have fun. You can call me a killjoy, a curmudgeon, a Grinch, but I call it like I see it, and I won't give an inch. I don't need Santa, I can buy shit for myself. I don't care about job security for an elf. Traditions don't matter, sometimes they're obscene. Let me give an example so you see what I mean. Name one other time you would ever drink eggnog. If you don't like what I'm saying, you can suck my Yule log. 'Cause Christmas is bullshit. I hate the music, and pretending winter is fun. It's the worst.
Know what you're gonna say. You're gonna say,
maybe you don't like Christmas because you haven't met the right Christmas yet.
But we all know that's not how that works. I've tried Christmas 35 times. It's not working for me. But they say,
don't complain about a problem without offering a solution.
Next year, no Christmas, just two Halloween.